This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The Mark Cox Morning Show.
Listen to both sides.
The bottom line is,
I respect that we don't agree.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Just to find a voice. Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
I don't know how to put this.
Mark Cox.
I'm kind of a big deal.
Well, it adds excitement, doesn't it, folks?
All right, welcome back to the Mark Cox Morning Show, where we are all keeping an eye on the sky because it's 8 a.m. And we are being told that that is when the snow is going to hit the greater St. Louis area. Now, if you are following us on social media or you're listening, feel free to let us know. You can always go to the Odyssey app and leave us a message there on the listener line. If you're this, just hit the microphone, follow the instructions, wait 3 seconds to start recording, because if not, cuts off what you're saying, and then you can leave us a message. If you've already got to snow where you are, we'd love to know that. I don't know. It looks like it just looking at the radar here real quick, it looks like it is just starting to move in. We should be seeing snow outside even as we speak, Carl, if the radar is correct here. Starting to hit. We are going to talk to meteorologist Dave Murray coming up here about 8:45, so about 30 minutes from now. So we'll get Dave on here. Dave knows exactly what to expect. Maybe he has a better idea today where that line's going to hit, where you're going to get more ice and snow, or you're going to get it looks right now that ice and snow looks like it's in the southern part of our listening area, the very southernmost part. And through the course of the day, that kind of lifts to the north, I believe. So we'll talk to Dave Murray about it. He's got it all worked out. Glad you joined us here in here alongside Kim St. Ange, Carl Middleman. Ethan's got the day off. And, of course, Sue Thomas has got all of your traffic for you this morning. It's been a pretty smooth traffic day. And, you know, I think that is the weather gods giving Sue Thomas a break, don't you, Carl? I mean, really, because
for now, so they can curse her in the afternoon.
Exactly, because this afternoon they've got all kinds of hellfire and brimstone planned for her. I'm sure for that afternoon drive, it could be a complete mess. A bunch of schools have already called off, and some of them called off yesterday. Apparently, I don't know.
Go to our website and you can see the list of schools.
Yes, you can check out the school listings on there as well. You can also, of course, you can download the podcast if you missed anything. Great interview last hour with Chad Pergram, by the way, talking about, you know, we got a lot of big talkers in the Republican Party when it comes to cutting government. We've never had a better opportunity than right now. And I just hope Congress includes some of these cuts in the upcoming reconciliation bill. Let's hope they're willing to do that. All right. Bottom of the hour, we're going to get to Taylor Riggs. There are new inflation numbers out. How does that impact the market? We'll talk to Taylor about 8:35. But right now, Carl, let's get to our
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
This will no longer be a task force that makes bold promises only to fade into irrelevance or send strongly worded letters. This will be a relentless pursuit of truth and transparency, and we will not stop until the American people have the answers they deserve.
Anna Paulina Luna there, the congresswoman put in charge of this transparency task force. First up, the JFK shooting, where somebody's floated the idea again that there was a second shooter behind the grassy knoll.
We refuse to view AI as a purely disruptive technology that will inevitably automate away our labor force. We believe that AI is going to make our workers more productive.
Yeah, if you missed that speech yesterday by J.D. Vance, I mean, maybe you're not interested in AI, whether you are or not. I think what you're seeing there is the 48th president of the United States. It was an unbelievable speech. It's about 15 minutes long. I highly recommend it.
We do find it sort of rather odd that people in the bureaucracy who have ostensibly a salary of a few hundred thousand dollars, but somehow manage to accrue tens of millions of dollars in net worth.
Wouldn't that be nice? Elon Musk says, maybe they're just really good investors, but I don't think so. Really? Of course they're not. They've taken advantage of the system, and now he's looking closely at exactly how they managed to do that.
I feel like the luckiest man on earth right now. And I want you to know that I am not a hero in this at all. And President Trump is a hero. These men that came from the diplomatic service are heroes.
Yeah, that is Mark Fogel. He is an American teacher, and he is back. He's back in the United States, back in the USA, probably kissing the ground when he landed here after 3.5 years in a Russian prison. Now, what he did was dumb. What he did was really dumb. I mean, you've got to think that through. Kim, you've traveled overseas.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't there certain things you think when you're traveling overseas that you probably shouldn't take with you?
Like, yep, I think about that before I go.
I mean, honestly.
I'm a little surprised. I don't know if he slipped his mind. I don't know how it would have slipped your mind.
But it's no different than if you're getting on an airplane or anything else, right? I mean, if you get on an airplane with a bag of marijuana in your luggage and you get caught, it's still a federal offense, even if it's legal in the state where you bought it.
It's one thing if you forget to take your shampoo bottle and put it into a smaller bottle or something like that.
Yes.
But I think bringing, in this case, they're saying it was medical marijuana, but that's still different.
Doesn't matter.
I just think you would have an easier time remembering something like that.
It was Brittany Griner level stupid to do what he did. But that said, it didn't deserve a 14-year prison sentence in Russia. So this guy's been languishing in prison for 3.5 years, clearly found in violation of Russian laws when it comes to marijuana, and Joe Biden did nothing. Nothing. Donald Trump's been president for 3 weeks. So for all of that 3.5 years, minus the past less than a month, this guy's been in jail under the Biden administration. Brittany Griner came home. One other person came home, if I remember correctly, but not this guy. And 3 weeks into his presidency, Donald Trump brings the guy home. As you can imagine, he was a little overwhelmed in listening to him speak yesterday. Can you imagine how you would feel if that was you standing there with Donald Trump and the media and the people that saved you? He was speechless.
I'm a middle-class school teacher who's now in a dream world.
We're going to show you the Lincoln bedroom in a little while. It's a very special place. Appropriate for tonight. Very appropriate.
And thank you all. And I love our country. And I'm so happy to be back here. And I wish I could articulate it better.
Yeah, he did a great job. Donald Trump says, don't worry, it's about to get better. We're going to put you up in the Lincoln bedroom tonight.
Well, I hope he can get some rest after he had 400 injections while he was at the hospital for 100 plus days?
Yeah, he did say that. And I can't imagine what they were sticking in him over there. You'd think they'd want to take him straight to a hospital and get him checked out before they put him up in the Lincoln bedroom. But I don't know. That's what's happening. That was a great scene last night when the guy arrived at the White House, if you missed it. I mentioned coming up, we'll get to Taylor Riggs. Those CPI numbers came out. They rose faster than expected. What does that mean? Plus, we've got Dave Murray, a meteorologist extraordinaire, coming up at about 8:45, and he'll put the finishing touches on what he thinks is happening, even as we speak, to the greater St. Louis area. Stay tuned.
M on a whim.
A group of high school teachers in Belleville, New Jersey, are under fire because of what they wore to class. So this was a dress down day. I don't know if they're typically having to wear uniforms, but it sounds like this was a casual day back at the end of January. And this group of teachers decided to all wear T-shirts that said Gulf of America. Students and now parents were outraged. Supposedly, some of the students were crying. There have been emails from parents saying that they're not letting their kids come back to class because they're scared they're going to get picked up by ICE raids.
Yep.
This whole thing's been blown up. It's kind of gone viral. The superintendent has been involved and has said, you know, he's handling this internally. He said he addressed the problem, but because it was a personnel matter, wouldn't expand on what was, you know, done. Mark, yeah. You're holding up a picture. Is that
I am.
A picture
it's the Gulf of America. It's Uncle Sam sitting on a beach at the Gulf of America. Can you see that there? My buddy sent that. He's got that T-shirt. He laid it on his counter and snapped a picture of it. I think that's fantastic. I have got to get me one of these.
I'm sure a lot of companies are capitalizing on that. And now if you go to Google Maps, you will see it has officially been changed to the Gulf of America. And Google Maps also apparently took off. I'm sorry, I should say Google Calendar took off. It was Pride Month. They took off Black History Month. They took off, I guess, like Holocaust Remembrance. I mean, all kinds of things they removed,
so,
basically.
What does that tell you? Like, it tells you not that Trump came to them and said, you need to take these things off. It tells you that they were being pressured by the previous administration to put those things on, I think. That's my take on the whole thing. And the fact that these teachers were they disciplined?
Well, and that's not clear. It just says that the superintendent handled it. I think this.
So they were disciplined.
But probably my guess would be they were told you can't wear the shirt anymore. I think that this begs the question: should any teacher be allowed to wear any shirt that you could argue would be politically motivated? Because that's, of course, what they were saying about this. Listen to some radio hosts who I listen to some of their show, and they seem very liberal. At least one of them does, but I would argue both of them seem very liberal. But they were talking about this whole issue. Listen to this:
the student body there is heavily Latino. And many among the student body, even if you're completely on board with what President Trump is doing with deportations, try for just a moment to put yourself into the head of somebody who is here in this country and they had no choice. They're not the ones who decided that they were going to sneak across a border or be an anchor baby or whatever it might be. And so they have like this heightened sensibility right now with everything that's going on with the ICE raids and all of that.
I think that guy, that radio host, makes a valid point. I empathize for the students who were brought over here when they were younger. Maybe their parents came legally or they overstayed a visa, so now they're here illegally. And they're now scared hearing about all this stuff. Their friends are talking about it. Their parents are freaking out about it. But ultimately, you can't blame the school or the teachers for wearing the shirt. You need to put the blame on the parents who came over here illegally. But I would make the argument that, you know, I can understand why they might not want teachers wearing a Gulf of America T-shirt. But if you tell the parent, if you tell the teachers, rather, that they can't wear that type of t-shirt, then you also have to tell them you can no longer wear a pride shirt. You can no longer have any signs, pride flags, nothing that says love is love, because that's the other side of this. And that's where I think it's been a double standard.
I'd love to know.
You can have Palestinian flags and all these things, pride flags in your classroom, and that's totally fine and not politically motivated. But as soon as you wear, in this case, a Gulf of America t-shirt, somehow that's extremely offensive and you're pushing your views on others.
I'd love to know what the policy is in that district for that. You said you thought this was a private school?
I'm not sure if it's a private school. It's Belleville High School.
Oh, to have a dress down day, you would think that
my guess is they're probably uniform.
Dress down from something, right? So I want to know what that radio host who was on there would say to the Jewish student who's offended when he walks into a teacher's classroom and there's a Palestinian flag on the wall. Right?
Right, and that should not be allowed. That happened here in the St. Louis area. We had a Kirkwood High School teacher.
In a lot of public school districts.
Mm-hmm.
Or the pride flag on the wall when a heterosexual student walks in.
Right.
If you're going to ban the teachers from doing that, you need to ban the teachers from doing the other thing.
So it says the local school board's policies protect free speech, but generally bar teachers and staff from engaging in politically charged activity on school grounds, such as handing out, I guess, flyers or encouraging people to sign petitions. It doesn't say much about clothes bearing political slogans. But again, I go back to this whole notion of, I understand why you might not want teachers wearing stuff like that, because I don't think students should know where you stand on political things, because I think that's distracting. Because if I'm sitting in class now, I didn't have these beliefs back then, but let's just sit, I'll put myself in this position of being a high school student. I'm sitting here trying to learn about history and I'm staring at my teacher who's wearing a giant rainbow shirt that says love is love. That actually could be a little bit distracting for me. And now I know where they stand on that. I'm starting to think about their other political beliefs. I get why teachers probably should not be wearing anything that could be interpreted as political.
So I want you to find me the names of those teachers, and I want to send them. I'm going to get my friend Richie on the job here. I want to get Richie to print out the album cover from Vanilla Ice with Ice Baby Ice on it. Let's send them those t-shirts and see if they can get away with wearing that. Think that'd make them feel any better?
It's a really great idea, Mark.
I'm just telling you. It says Ice Baby Ice on it. With Vanilla Ice, he sang the song.
Mark, do you like to make children cry?
Who could perceive that in the wrong way? That's all I would ask. Or send him that with a red slash through it, like no Ice Baby Ice. That'd be okay with that, wouldn't they?
You can't hear me right now if you're listening on the radio, but I'm shaking my head at Mark.
I'm just saying. It's the death of common sense, but it's so fun to watch the left wallow in this.
I mean, I do admit that people are overly sensitive about everything. People are offended left and right. I'm so tired of that. Trust me. But this I can actually understand. But the only way I will understand them being told you can't wear these shirts is if the same school district tells teachers, you can't wear any other type of shirt that would show love is love, anything like that.
Yeah.
Nothing. And you know what? I highly doubt they would do that, because that's just not how it typically
works. Well, then the teachers' union's going to get involved to protect the lefties, but not everybody else. I just see that fight coming, for sure. All right. Good conversation, Kim. It really is. Coming up, we'll get to Taylor Riggs. Of course, she is the co-host of The Big Money Show on Fox. Some new inflation numbers came out. What's it going to do to the market? Was it bad news? They were a little higher than they thought they were going to be. What does that mean for interest rates? I don't know, but Taylor does. We'll get to all that coming up.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, why couldn't this have been the Super Bowl halftime show? That's all I'm asking.
This is rap you like?
Carl, I don't like any of it. Carl says, you're such a nerd. You even said the name of the song wrong. Because it's true. I said Ice Baby Ice, and it's Ice Ice Baby.
Kim was trying very hard not to laugh.
I do that a number of times, Mark.
Oh, thank you. Wow.
Shots fired.
Over the bow there. How about that? I don't know. I think that'd be great. Maybe we make that the new theme song for the show, Carl.
Ew.
Oh, come on.
Actually, I think that's pretty funny.
Thank you. No.
Whenever Tom Holman comes on with us.
Yes, which I'm told is a possibility.
Really?
So we're working on that for later this week, and keep your fingers crossed. Maybe we'll get the man himself on who's out there sending all these people to Guantanamo Bay. And if that happens, Carl, I want us to play that song as the intro to him. Please, please make that happen. And I'm sure that we probably can. We're waiting to talk to Taylor Riggs here in a couple of minutes from the Fox Business Network. CPI numbers are out. That's inflation. And it was a little hotter than they expected. So we'll let Taylor explain exactly what that's going to mean for all of us when we get her on the line here in a minute. And coming up, meteorologist Dave Murray, in about 10 minutes or so, will talk all about the storm that is starting to move in. According to radar, you look at the radar, I should be looking out my window at a wall of white snowflakes, and I don't see anything.
I'm so glad there's not. I was
not
nervous
yet
about my drive home.
But it's you can see on radar, it's out there. I mean, it's encroaching. It's encroaching on us. I'm going to throw a flag on it. So there we go. Let's get to Taylor, please. All right, there she is. Taylor Riggs, the Fox Business Network, the Big Money Show. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me back.
Well, we love having you on. We appreciate you giving us a little bit of time each week. The CPI numbers rose faster than expected. Did I say that correctly?
You did. I'm a little concerned. You know, we heard from the Fed Chair Jay Powell yesterday testifying in his annual semi-testimony in front of the Senate. He continues again today. They're in no rush to cut rates. And frankly, I'm confused why they cut rates right before the election last fall. We don't have a handle on inflation if they think that the target is 2%, which it is. So there's some interesting factors in here. The headline numbers, it does tell me that inflation is rising faster than expected. The only good news, I guess, is shelter costs contributed to about 30% of that increase. So there are just a few items like airplane tickets and shelter costs that are contributing to that, which is good. It's not broad-based. But those are still things that Americans have to pay for every day.
Yes.
And so, again, January was not a great month. The only other caveat is I was going back since, I believe, 1998. January, 50% of the time, comes in hotter than expected because of seasonal adjustments. So I do want to see more data points in February and March, especially since the new Trump administration just came in on January 20. But I will say that this is not good news overall.
No, I didn't expect that. All right. Well, we'll see what happens. So for those of us who might have just taken out a mortgage and were hoping those rates were going to drop, that's not going to happen anytime soon, is it?
No, I mean, we just got, again, the numbers. I think you're still at a 6.96.
Yeah.
And this is the problem where sellers, I think, aren't willing to come down in price. And buyers, if I'm switching right now, I know personally I'm in a mortgage that's like maybe 3.5% that I got maybe back in 2018. I'm afraid to move because my costs are going to double because my interest rate is going to double.
Sure. I would kill for that interest rate.
I know, but then you're locked in.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then you can't move. And so it is creating this stalemate where if mortgage rates came down, I do think that it would open up the floodgates. But again, if rates come down, generally prices go up. And we already have an affordability crisis when it comes to housing. So I think the smart policy, which the administration is trying to think about, is increasing housing supply, which hopefully does solve the affordability crisis.
Yeah. I want to play something for you, Taylor, because I don't know if you watched any of J.D. Vance's speech yesterday on AI or not, but it was a master class. Let me play just a little bit of that here.
This administration wants to be very clear about one last point. We will always center American workers in our AI policy. We refuse to view AI as a purely disruptive technology that will inevitably automate away our labor force. We believe, and we will fight for policies that ensure, that AI is going to make our workers more productive, and we expect that they will reap the rewards with higher wages, better benefits, and safer and more prosperous communities.
Wow. I can't imagine tech stocks not going up after a speech like that. It was a pretty amazing 15 minutes.
Yes. Well, and I love the part about productivity, because I hate to break it to you, but the only way we're going to grow our way out of $36 trillion in debt is if we have these productivity gains that will help us grow our way out of that. And I love that he's continuing to think about the American worker, because we just had an election where American workers said, hey, my wages aren't keeping up with inflation. I'm getting poorer every day because you keep devaluing my currency. So I love that he's marrying the two. It is also not lost to me that he's saying this in Europe. Europe has been producing very few gains in big tech, in AI, because they are so bogged down by regulation. I was reading one statistic that came from Meta, the owner of Facebook, their head of global affairs, where they said in the time that Europe produced $1 billion company, the U.S. produced $6 trillion companies, because we don't have the massive regulation. Europe has multiple different countries, multiple different regulators, all these different laws. So really is not lost on me that he's going over there and saying we're leading the way and we're going to continue to lead the way.
Taylor, what do you think about Trump telling the U.S. Treasury to stop making new pennies?
I love it. It costs more than 2 cents to make every penny. Why? This is the classic wasteful spending. Now, what worries me is then if I have a product at $6.97, they're probably just going to round it either down to $6.95, but more likely, yes, to $7. But again, people keep talking about what's that saying? Like a penny saved is a penny earned or something. Doge is getting some heat because people think they're not cutting costs fast enough. Well, sure, you're not going to just cut a trillion, but if you cut a million here, a million there, eventually it adds up to a couple billion and then maybe $1 trillion. So I like that we're everything is on the table. And if making a penny costs us double what the value of the penny is worth, why are we doing it?
It's a good point.
So I'm open to it.
Yeah. What are you guys working on for the big money show today?
Oh, we're all doge. You know, I think people are so excited. Every business leader that we speak to is so excited. You have Democrats trying to steamroll it. You have them trying to tie this thing up in court. The American people voted. We cannot afford a deficit and a $36 trillion in debt. Fed Chair Jay Powell says that it's always the right time to be talking about this. Our debt is on an unsustainable path, and the present, there's no time like the present. Thank you. I voted for this. I can't have a family and raise a child when she's responsible for massive debt that we consume because we're all overspending. So Doge is the only thing right now, and of course we need tax cuts, but that's what's on American leaders' minds.
Let's hope they get it done. Taylor, thank you. We'll be listening today at noon.
Thank you.
Yeah, you take care of yourself. Always great to get her on here. Explains everything so down to earth. I love it. All right, coming up, we got the man, the myth, the legend, Dave Murray, meteorologist, going to join us, tell you more about the storm and what to expect for the rest of the day when we come back. Back by popular demand, we have Chief Meteorologist Dave Murray on the phone again this morning. Is this thing, you know, Dave, I look at the crap app I've got on my phone and I see the snow on radar, but I'm getting reports that at least out in Wildwood, there's no snow falling yet.
No, there are little flurries and stuff around the immediate St. Louis area. Remember, we didn't really think this thing would get going until even starting between 6 a.m. and 9 a.m. And the biggest batch of moisture I'm seeing, which if you look at radar, you're thinking, well, that's the snow. It's down, it's approaching Sullivan right now. It's coming right up I-44. Most of that is sleet, and that's why that's showing up on radar the way it is. And that's coming up. And it will, you know, everything's really right on schedule. Again, I want to stress this is a fast-moving storm. It's not a big storm. It is not a repeat of January. It's just kind of a messy storm with a mix of snow, and it would be a wet snow, sleet, freezing rain, and even some plain rain. We're at 31 right now. Most of the areas in that 30 to 31 degree range would not be surprised to see us get up to about 34 or 35 for an hour or two during the afternoon. Prime time for messy stuff will be this afternoon and into the early evening. So from, let's say, from now, even though it really hasn't started in the immediate St. Louis area, until about 8 o'clock this evening is the window of opportunity. Because it's a mix, because ground temperatures are warm, because it's not a big storm, it's a fast-moving storm, we're only going to see about 1, maybe 2 inches of mainly sleet across the St. Louis area. Wow. Now, they've treated the roads. That's good. It sounds like a lot, but it really isn't, because a lot of it's going to melt on contact as it hits the roads. Will there be some road problems? Bridges, overpasses, entrance, exit ramps, things like that, things that get the cold air trapped underneath it. That's the area you really have to pay attention. But I don't think we're going to see widespread traffic problems. With that said, I don't think the afternoon is going to be very pretty out on the road.
Sue Thomas would like to take issue. Yeah, she's going to have her hands full today.
Now, wait a minute. I'm just talking about the weather. I'm not talking about the drive.
No, I get it.
Did you say, Dave, there would be some regular rain mixed in with the freezing rain and sleet?
Yes.
So would that then have an impact on the pre-treating of the roads? Because typically wouldn't that brine not really be as effective when the regular rain could just wash it away?
Yes, and freezing rain would also do the same thing. Because remember, freezing rain is rain all the way down until it makes contact with a surface. So freezing rain can also do that too. But again, I think the main feature is going to be more sleet than anything else. And it's going to be a relatively quick hit of it. I think the heaviest shot of sleet is probably going to be about midday here in the St. Louis area.
Yeah. So I have to ask, I know you do your winter forecast every year. Has it been pretty much what you expected?
December worked out really well. January went right into the toilet. And then February is working out very well. I'm happy with the way that thing's doing. And I've been doing these things for maybe 15 years now. When a forecast goes bad, and it's usually just a month out of the three, it really goes bad. It's not one of these things where, well, that was pretty close. It wasn't great. Now, January was just awful. Just awful.
So do we have six more weeks of winter like the dang groundhog told us because he didn't see a shadow or did? I get the two mixed up.
I don't know. I do too. You know, remember it's a groundhog. You know, we still have a lot of winter to go. I think it is going to be, my spring forecast is towards the end of the month, but I think just a little hint, I think that March and April do not look like springtime months for us. Right. It looks like a late spring across the area.
Excellent. Dave, listen, we appreciate the insight this morning, my friend. Thank you.
All right. Just slow down. Take it easy. Use your smarts. We want to keep Sue calm, and everything will be fine.
Hopefully she's getting a good nap in the middle of the day today, for sure. All
That's
right.
right.
Dave, we'll talk to you next time. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Yep, take care. Dave Murray there coming to you from the shelter of his nice warm home and telling us what's going to happen here.
Sometimes weather like this, I feel like, can be the most dangerous because you don't have as much snow accumulation, but you have that freezing rain and the sleet, which can, of course, make, you know, roads very slick, and it's, you don't realize it. So people think that they can go just as fast, and then all of a sudden you're sliding.
It's true. You got to be careful. One of these days we'll have to have that conversation with Dave about all these different models. I've heard to talk about the American model and this model and that model. I guess it's just different people's interpretation of the data. And, you know, that's what I've always appreciated about Murray is that he does his own forecasts, and the true meteorologists do that. And I always tease Chambers over at Channel 4 because, like, he went to school and got, like, a degree in meteorology. Like,
this is a tough degree.
Geology
to get.
And meteorology and all that stuff.
Science.
But yeah. But there are universities in this country who just, you can go to school to be a weather forecaster. And you're not necessarily a meteorologist. So that used to be an issue in the business if somebody was portraying themselves as a meteorologist, but they didn't really have the degree. They actually did a degree in broadcast meteorology, and the people that had gone and taken all the science classes really didn't think that was fair.
Well, I get that because you're just probably basing it off of the National Weather Service.
Yeah, yeah,
I could do that. I mean, I used to, in Nashville, I used to have to fill in on traffic, and I knew nothing about that, and not like it's the same as being a meteorologist. I get that. I'm not looking at models, but still, it's like you don't really know what you're talking about.
You don't own the forecast. Yeah. You have to be willing to take the heat and own the forecast.
To people.
And have a good sense of humor, like Dave Murray, who says, I did my weather forecast. December was great. January bombed. It's just the nature of it, right? You know, it's going to go your way sometimes, and sometimes it's not.
And I went to school with Chris Higgins, and he did all the classes. He's a meteorologist, right. But he also ran the radio station because he knew that he was going to go into broadcasting.
Smart. Very smart. For sure. All right. So stay tuned right here all day, and we'll have the latest on the weather as it develops. Annie Fry will be in here live at noon right after Brian Kilmeade. And then, of course, Sue Thomas back in this afternoon during your afternoon drive.
The Sue Thomas Show.
Mark Reardon. It will be the Sue Thomas Show this afternoon, not the Mark Reardon Show, for sure. All right. Be safe out there, folks. We'll see you back here, snow or not, tomorrow morning at 5 a.m.